I don't know if you noticed, but the birds were kind of choreographing to that outside. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the calming of our minds, the longing of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. Honestly, preaching on Easter is one of the more difficult Sundays of the year. It's the same story, year after year after year. And at the beginning of this week, I was overthinking, how can I make this message new? How can I make this message fresh? And then we were meeting at one of our 14 meetings this past week to go over one of our 14 services. And Philip Hallworth looked at us and said, there's nothing you can do to mess up this story. This story is bigger than you. Embrace it, enjoy it, and live in it. And so with that, I'm just going to tell the story, y'all. And God's going to work in each one of you so that you hear something new. You hear something fresh that can help you live out the rest of your days as Easter people. We began with the Matthew reading. I want now to read from Luke. Luke 24, 1 through 12. On the first day of the week of the early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed by this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them, and the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "What do you do for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified. And on the third day, rise again." They then remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Stooping and looking in, Peter ran to the grave and saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home amazed at what had happened. So let's break this scripture down. In verses 1 through 3, you see the women going to the grave. Honestly, they didn't take cars, but in the dark, coming to do something that was necessary. It wasn't something probably that they were excited to do that day, but they got up, they got the spices, and they went to the grave to do what they knew they needed to do. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I show up and come to church not with joy and anticipation in my heart, but because I know what it is I need to do. Yet they were surprised when they got there. The women showed up in the dark with spices, not faith. But God met them anyway. And then we move on to the rest of the scripture where we encounter angels. And what is the first thing that happens in scripture after an angel appeared? The next line is? There we go. Do not be afraid. Because I don't know about you, but before the sun rises, to have angelic beings where I thought my son's body would be, it's a bit much. It's a bit much. And yet God comforts them with the words of, do not be afraid. These angels were inviting the women in. And they said, why do you look for the living among the dead? This year, that line rang out to me more than anything else. Because I think there's so much in our lives where we go searching and seeking and hoping, and we go back to the same thing that didn't work before. We go back to the same trials. We go back to the same rhythms. And God is looking at these women saying, life is new. Embrace it. Tell the story. And they did. Because he reminded the women of what? In verses 6 and 7. This story has already been told. Jesus himself said, I will be handed over by sinners and in 3 days will rise from the dead. Why are they surprised by this? Her own son looked at her and said these words. Now, as a mother of 2 sons, they have also looked at me straight in the eyes and said things that were gonna happen. And sometimes when they actually do, I'm surprised. I'm amazed. And yet they went and told these stories. In verses 9 and 10, the first preachers of the resurrection are who? Women. They go and they tell the story to the disciples. And even they, you know, these were the guys that hung out with Jesus, that learned from Jesus, that knew and saw the miracles that he did. These weren't stories that were told to them. They were there when he healed. They were there when he fed 4,000. They were there. And yet when the women came and told them that it was true, they didn't believe. How many of us are like that in our faith lives? Somebody looks at you and says, I know this is hard for you to believe, to understand, to absorb, but it is true. This past week, as a pastor, is a lot. But as a Christian, it's how I get through every other week of the year. We start this week in this triumphant celebration of Jesus coming into town, and it turns so quickly. Thursday night, we celebrate a holy meal where Jesus invited everyone to the table. And then on Friday, we crucify him. Yet today the tomb is empty. Jesus conquered death. You see, in this week, it reminds me that my God is not a God that's far away and distant. My God, our God, the God, is seeking a relationship with us each and every day. If you are walking to the tomb with spices, out of obligation and out of fear, God is there. If you are shocked by the majesty of God's power in your life, and he says, don't be afraid, God is there. If you go and tell this story to somebody who looks at you like you are a fool, God is there. And as you go about in each and every day and in the days to come, this scripture ends with Peter. Peter got up, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. And he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And when he went home, he was amazed at what had happened. You see, resurrection isn't just something to believe. It's something to live. Each and every day we can be made new. It's hope when things seem lost. It's courage when you are afraid. It's light when the world feels dark. As Christians, we use this term, let's go and be Easter people. It sounds kind of kitschy, but what it means, let's go and be the light. Let's go and be the hope. Let's go and be the joy. Earlier this morning, somebody goes, are you always this happy this early? And I said, actually, I'm a morning person. Don't call me after 9:30. Like, my joy, like, decreases as the day goes on. Yet with God and through God, as a part of God's family, I can be that joy. I can be that hope. I can be that light. But it's not me. It's God working through me. When I decide I am God and I am in control, everything just shudders around me. But when I wake up and I look up at the cross and I recognize the power and majesty that God is in my life each and every day, seeking a relationship with me, calling me to be a better human, calling me to be what he created me to be. So I say to you, go and be Easter people. Whatever that means in your life, be the joy, be the hope, be the inspiration to somebody. Be the quiet friend that sits by their side. But know that no matter what you do, no matter where you go in this life, God is with you. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we go from this place, we go inspired. For you have done so many great things. But today is the story above all stories. Today you conquered death to bring hope and light and peace into a world that still needs it today. Let us be just a little bit better than we were yesterday as we go out the rest of our days as Easter people. Amen.